What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Cat Basket Podcast here with DPJ alongside of Jason Jones.
What's going on, everybody?
We are back from Buffalo. Just strolled in about maybe half hour ago.
Woke up this morning, drove out, drove from, what time did we leave, like 8?
We left today at about 7:45.
And we got to Evan City Park and Ride.
Yep.
At like noon, and then we had to sit in traffic for 45 minutes to get back to Pittsburgh, so... We're hurting a little bit from all the driving.
I feel okay. It's the sunburn that's killing me.
Oh, well. It was nasty. The sun just coming right over top of the stadium yesterday. Just not good. Not good.
So we're here to talk about a little bit of the road trip. And all in all, I had an enjoyable experience.
Yeah, me too.
I was expecting Buffalo to be somewhat crummy. I didn't really know what to expect. I know they had that small stadium everybody talked about. And there's a whole lot of unknowns heading into it. And one of the things I was most nervous about probably was Buffalo played us close last year, and I had a feeling that they were going to keep it close again this week, because everybody talked about, oh, Buffalo's going to sell out, it's going to be an intense crowd, it's pit week at Buffalo. And
not really.
No.
Didn't see it. They have their student section is 400 people, maybe 500 people.
It's tiny.
I didn't notice any sort of they weren't causing any noise. They had those thunder sticks and stuff, but you still could.
They were loud right at first, but we went down and marched on them, and then we got that fumble recovery off the kickoff and made it 14-0, that just shut them up right away.
I mean, there was I really wasn't impressed with any with theirs. There wasn't a big amount of noise. It wasn't a hostile place to play. Temperature was really good. There's a little bit of wind, but other than that, everything was fine.
Their regular fans are a lot like ours. It's dead quiet.
Yeah, dead quiet. They didn't get a lot of noise from anybody. I couldn't think of a better place to play your first road game at. If you think about it, really, we get a win over a team that team in the MAC, at probably one of the easier environments you're going to find in college football.
It's a good test to get a road win on.
Yeah,
especially early, you said.
Yeah, definitely.
So the one thing that did suck about their stadium, and I never want to hear anybody complain about an on-campus stadium again, especially thinking about it in terms of Oakland. Buffalo has a nice, wide, spread-out campus. It's huge. It's what you expect a college campus to look like. We had a park probably a good 2.5 miles away from that stadium.
Yeah, we had to walk. It was 15-minute walk to get to the stadium, because we got into Buffalo 30 minutes before the game started. And we had to walk 2 miles to get into the stadium, and we got there right before kickoff, right before kickoff.
Yeah, so if Buffalo, a wide spread out campus that with a stadium that only holds 29,000 people, is that packed, and they have lots of parking around, it's just all filled up.
It's all filled up, yeah.
How are you going to do it in Oakland if you want a 55,000 seat stadium with nowhere to? First of all, building the stadium is one thing. Where are you going to put the parking at? What are you going to do? Have everybody walk from the OC lot all the way down to Panther Hollow? That seems a little bit ridiculous. You'd have to maybe consider putting parking in the south side and then busing people over there. And how upset that would make our fans.
Yeah.
And like, oh, I can't knock down so many student housing and give me a parking lot for my second game year.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I think with that experience, and we went with our buddies Grant and JT along with it. And JT is a big-time Yinzer who loves his Pitt script, loves his on-campus stadium,
loves
Waha, and loves to compare us to Penn State about how they're so much better in everything.
Yep.
And typical Pitt fan. But he, even with all the negative experience, and he was one of the ones complaining the most about the awful parking situation and how bad it was, still blindly following that on-campus stadium.
Yeah.
So for me, I was never really big on an on-campus stadium, because Heinz Field provides a lot for us. There's lots of parking around. The seats are nice. You don't have crummy bleachers unless you're in the middle of the very upper deck.
Yeah.
I don't see why we just can't be happy with what we have.
Yep.
But it's just an old mentality of a dying fan base that's, as time passes along, will be less and less strong. That's enough for ranting about that. Let's go back to the game. So we started off really well. Had the touchdown, and then on the ensuing kickoff after the first drive, special teams came up with a big fumble recovery.
Yeah.
And put another touchdown
out on him,
right. And the thing that really surprised me most about this game was seeing all the passes to Doran. When was the last time we saw a receiver catch 3 touchdowns like that? And
when we put him in motion, they weren't picking him up fast enough, and he would come out and he'd get all that space in the flats, and he'd turn it up, and it was every single time. And you really got to give Cignetti a lot of credit for calling that game the way he did. Whereas he's taken if that's going to be the game plan for the rest of the season, I mean, it can work because he took all sort of pressure off Stahl. Stahl didn't have to make any passes. Mm-hmm. I mean, he threw that really bad one in the first. Anytime we had to throw over like 10 yards, we saw the usual Stahl. But like what we got was a guy, you know, throwing short screen passes, yeah. lots of screen passes, throwing lots of like really easy routes. And it sort of protected him from his own shortcomings.
Right. That's, like you said, perfect game plan. Cignetti knows what Stahl can and cannot do, so he was able to take and work with his strengths. So the big thing when you look at his stat line is you'll say, wow, he had 21 out of 30 in passing. That's going to be pretty good. But then you look and saw he only had 191 yeah, yards out of 21 completions.
Dunks, yeah.
If that's the offense we have to play to win, that's fine. Just
exactly, yeah. If that's what we're going to do, is keep it super conservative, passing the ball. As long as it means that we can still score points, I doubt we're going to play another team that we're going to be able to dominate up front as easily as we dominated Buffalo, because Buffalo's defensive line was getting pushed around by our offensive line. I imagine it's going to be a little harder. It's going to be a little harder sledding in the Big East and also against like NC State. But if we can sort of get similar performances, like, this offense will work. It'll easily work. It'll get us through games, too. It'll score points.
The next big thing to watch for, too, is to see if teams adjust to that style of offense or running. You know, Buffalo's main plan for this week was to stick eight guys in the box and stop the run, which is where we started catching them on some screen passes. If you have teams now playing eight in the box, but then they start to roll out a couple linebackers following the screens, that might prevent us from doing it a little bit effectively the way we have the last couple games.
I don't know if it's because it's the first two games of the season, but there's some very obvious tells in our offense that, like, you can tell by the formation what the play is going to be.
And number one, if Baldwin's on the field, we're running it.
It's going to be a running play. Maybe we're just seeing something that's, like, just a coincidence, but it looks like we're running sort of the same plays over and over and over again. Hopefully, that doesn't become what, you know, the Wildcat was for that seven-game stretch where we were running on the same cadence. I mean, we did it just over and over and over again. You kind of worry, like, our running plays were sort of similar all game.
A lot of runs right behind Malecki.
Yeah. And we did a lot of those cutback runs where we had the cutback lane for Deion Lewis. And you sort of just hope that that's, like, maybe we're just keeping things sort of simple. And, like, we're going to bring different types of plays in game to game to game. But as for now, like, that's as good of a way win we're going to get offensively. I mean, that's as good as we're going to play offensively.
Right.
This is it. Like, If this doesn't get any better than yesterday for offense,
we're not going to put 54 points up on anybody the rest of the way.
You will not see this offense play any better than you did against Buffalo.
Right. The one thing that really concerned me though was in that third quarter when we had that lead and we just sat on it.
We had 22 yards until that big run by Deion Lewis.
Right.
We shut it down because that's what we do. We shut it down.
Yeah, he quadrupled the yardage total in that half just with that one run. That's the thing. We can't afford to keep doing it. It's kind of like South Florida last year whenever we were playing prevent and you saw Bennett going and screaming about
it. We're going to let teams back in the game if we shut down that quick.
Right. We just need to keep running those screens to Dickerson. Just keep teams on their toes because, if they know in that third quarter if we get any type of 10-point lead that we're just going to sit on it and wait that clock out, that's when we're going to run into trouble because people forget with 5 minutes or so left in the
drive away from being a one touchdown game.
Right.
Under a touchdown game.
Yeah, because we were up 13.
If that running back wouldn't have tripped in the hole, the game would
have been six.
It'd have been six. Because let's get to it. Our defense is nothing good enough to win us, not even close to what it needs to be. Secondary is bad. Our defensive line's not getting any pressure. The only player on our defense is getting any sort of pressure on the quarterback is Gunn. Blitzing, and everybody knows how often we blitz.
Right.
One every 50.
But you notice Gunn, a lot of his sacks this game, a lot of his sacks last game, came off of plays where he was covering a guy that stayed in the block, which allowed him to rush.
Yeah.
And he's just showed amazing closing speed, which I had no idea he had. And
our wonder formation of defensive alignment of having linebackers cover wide receivers is not working anymore.
4-3 all the time.
It's not working anymore. Because our wide receivers, what they're doing is teams are just sitting in the middle of the field where those two linebackers aren't. They're catching the ball, and then you got our two safeties coming up and blowing tackles or trying to jump routes and missing, and then touchdown.
Right.
They scored, two touchdowns directly down the middle of the field for over, 40 yards?
Mm-hmm.
It's really bad. And the sort of hype that was put on our team, even from themselves on the defensive line, we're unblockable. No, you're pretty well blockable, and you're pretty well easily controlled, as long as the team just game plans around it. something's going to have to give. Something's going to have to give with our sort of pressure. It's going to have to come from somewhere.
We're going to have to start playing in a nickel formation more often, or we're going to have to start blitzing linebackers to since the defensive line's...
First problem, we need a new cornerback opposite Barry. It cannot be Chappelle anymore. He let two touchdowns in by himself, just not, not breaking on plays. Yeah. He's not turning on the ball. He's not breaking on the ball. He's missing tackles now. Like, what sort of benefit does he give us if he's missing tackles? Like, that isn't his whole thing. He's a good tackler. And he's blowing tackles.
Right. They said he's very athletic and he's solid positionally.
We got to go back to the drawing board on defense. You can envision it in your head now how our losses are going to go. Teams are going to spread us out and throw directly into the middle of the field, and they're going to score touchdown after touchdown after touchdown after touchdown. And teams are just going to outscore us.
Teams are going to run the same offense that Buffalo did. But instead of them running it the way they did, with Maynard running it, it's going to be Tony Pike and Cincinnati running it.
The team that could really hurt us with this, Cincinnati's going to hurt us. Rutgers might hurt us because they run the same sort of spread. USF might hurt us. The teams that we're going to be able to play against are teams that are going to try to run the ball at us. Yep. But if the team watches the tape of this game, there's a game plan of how to just walk right through our defense. Right. Our defensive linemen aren't so sort of like. They would roll the pocket, and we'd get some pressure, but we're not getting enough push on running plays and stuff. So you just straight up block them straight, and just let them go, and then throw the ball down the middle of the field. And you have, big play touchdowns.
Right. If teams are throwing, six guys into block against our four,
they're wasting a spot, yeah.
Right, and they can still run over the middle. Say you have a tight end throw a chip block and then roll out into the middle of the field, and all of a sudden they're getting your 10-15 yard passes over the middle the way we saw they were happening yesterday. We were sort of
guys that complained mightily about the way Thatcher played. Right now,
Seago's
playing probably the worst football of anybody in the team. He's not tackling with his arms. He's just hitting people with his shoulders, trying to knock them down. He's jumping every route and then getting beat deep. He turned his body the wrong way twice on cutbacks across the field. He's doing nothing for us. Like, might be the worst player. Might be the worst player on both sides of the football right now. Just killing us with stupid mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Killing us. If you can even see on running plays where he's jumping into the wrong lane, he's coming up too far. Right.
The thing is, he's biting so much on play actions. Yeah. Like I understand. His big thing was being known as a run stopping safety. With our offense, with our defense, with the corners getting beat the way they were, especially on the side opposite of Barry, we need to have that extra safety back there just for coverage.
Somebody needs to explain to him he doesn't hit nearly as hard as he thinks he does, because he doesn't even knock people down when he hits them the first time. He's got to wrap him up and put him down instead of just trying to shoulder him down. Nobody's going down. This isn't high school anymore. You can't just run into people and knock them over because you're tall. You got to put people down, and you could tell that was where they were killing us, is right there, that spot in the field where the safeties would come in every time it was open. And the staying in the base 4-3 puts a lot of pressure on our safeties to cover. And I was talking about this last week. I'd really like to see what our safeties look like when the team starts throwing the ball against us and they have to actually cover. And we saw with this game, that's what our problem's going to be.
I think it just makes too much sense not to, do the nickel package, keep your same four off or defensive lineman like you want to do, let the linebackers remain Gunn and Williams, and then bring Holly out for an extra safety.
We got to start bringing an extra corner.
It's got to be Holly. It has to be Holly.
Yeah. Yeah, Ricky Gary made a couple really bad plays yesterday. Yeah.
We need Buddy Jackson back as soon as we can get him.
But these are sort of down the line problems.
Right. We can get by NC State.
Next week teams are going to run. Next week teams running at us. So
we'll be in good shape.
I guarantee our defense, thinking about sort of how it's going to play out, next week our defense is going to look amazing. Because what they're going to do is they're going to run at us, and it's going to play right into our strength of teams running at us, and our safeties biting, and our linebackers not being able to cover inside. It's not going to be a big deal, because there's going to be every single play is going to be a running play, and all that jumping and biting is not going to make a sort of effect on the game. So the next week when we go to NC State and they play a spread, we're going to see the exact same problems come right back.
I don't think NC State has the problems are still there, but I don't think they have the talent person for person to really put a hurt on us. But the same thing can be said for Buffalo. And before you get real mad at us and say, oh, you guys are just looking for negatives in the game, we gave up over 500 yards to Buffalo.
Yeah. They walked through our defense. They walked through it. The only thing that held them back is that they weren't talented enough to keep scoring.
Mm-hmm.
We did make some turnovers though. We got some good.
The fumbles really killed Buffalo.
But I mean, that's sort of the problem we have now, and you got to see this coming, is the defensive issues are going to just rear their head again every game whenever a team starts passing against us. But this is like, yeah, look at this. This is pretty much as good as we could have expected on the road.
Yep. When's the first road game of the season.
Yeah, this is what we can expect. I mean, maybe it's just a case of, you know, we're getting used to everything.
Yeah, it's still early. There's plenty of time to warm up. So it's not, you know, the sky is falling.
Those defense issues could be changed in a week with, like, you know, just maybe better game planning.
Yep. These are things that need to be addressed, and it's good that it happened when it did, because
it's good to happen when it did and we still won.
If the team and the coaching staff are willing to make the adjustments needed to correct the problem, then it's fine. If, however, we stay with what we have, it will cost us at least two games just on long bombs.
I would say it's going to cost us two games, and it's going to cost us sort of a gimme game that we're supposed to win along with those two games.
And you have to figure, too, we pretty much played perfect offensively with protecting the ball. We had drives that were eating up the clock. Yep. We had great possession. There weren't any, you know, bad turnovers or anything like that.
That was Wani ball yesterday. That was exactly what he says he's going to do. That's his sort of game plan. The only problem with the offense we saw was we sat on it in the second half, and they came right back on us, and then we couldn't dial it up again until the big run from Lewis.
Yeah, I don't think it's good to get your offense out of the motion like the way we had it. If things are rolling, keep putting that pressure on. If you're scoring, keep scoring, because you never know when that tide's going to turn.
Exactly.
You know, say all of a sudden you throw a pick six or something like that, and the momentum swings back. You want to have that big cushion there. And you go, oh, he's going to be a good sportsman. You know, they're just a max school. Screw that. You play to win the game. You're not going around trying to, you know, make people feel better.
If we'd been up three touchdowns in the third quarter, it'd have been done. But it wasn't, because just they kept coming back and coming back and coming back. If we'd have got that extra touchdown, I mean four touchdowns, if we'd have been up that extra touchdown, the game wouldn't even have been in dispute anymore. But we didn't do that. We sat on it. And then what happened, we had to somehow pull a big play out to keep the game away from them. But like we said, we're going to have... Next week's gonna be Navy. Probable win, you know. Anything can happen. We have lost to Navy in the recent past, but
I don't feel as nervous with having them without Paul Johnson as I did in the past.
Yeah.
So
I think it's just gonna be, I think if we can, they're gonna play into our sort of defense's hands, which is gonna be covering, you know, sort of being able to run people down.
Got to stay in the lanes, though. That's what killed us two years ago.
Yeah, we saw what killed us that one year, is that we just kept biting on the same sort of fake, and it worked every single time.
That was really Adam Gunn's weak point 2 years ago. Hopefully now, being a couple years older and seeing them
like I put on Twitter yesterday, he's an all-Big East player right now. He looks like the best player on our team on both sides of the ball. Like, him and Lewis are like the two guys. He's been just a revelation at middle linebacker compared to how he played at outside linebacker.
He's dominant.
When he played outside linebacker, he looked slow and he looked unathletic.
He's out of position all the time.
He's playing the middle linebacker. He looks like one of the fastest guys on defense, and he's all over the place.
He's where he needs to be.
He's all over the place.
He finds his way to the ball almost every play.
Very impressed.
Every time you see that quarterback run out of the pocket, the first thing you see is number 8 coming down.
Coming down and bearing down on him. He's making the tackles too, and when he gets to him, he's like putting him down, which is great. But we're sort of like. Again, we still don't know enough about this team. Here's what we know. We know Deion Lewis is probably for real. Probably going to put up huge numbers this year.
That 85-yard touchdown he had to end the game, made one guy miss, and then all of a sudden just hit that hole.
He's getting solid yardage almost every single carry. And you got to think he's just going to keep doing that the rest of this year. Maybe not to the extent that he's done in the first two games.
We got to watch the number of carries he's getting, too.
He's not getting out of the game at all. Like he had 30, 31 touches yesterday or something?
He played every play until
they
put Ray Graham in after we went up 47.
And he had, like, 31 touches. Like, he was, like, the entire offense. We can't run a guy like that.
Yeah, he had, what, like, 25 rushes and then six catches.
Six catches, yeah.
He ended up with 250 yards, over 250 yards
of
total
offense. He was the whole offense, pretty much. Him and Doran and those passes. And we got to make sure we're not overusing him and running him down in the end of the season, because all freshmen break down towards the end of the season.
And we saw what happened to Ricky Williams when Wonstead ran him like crazy. Even, I think, last year was a perfect example of how to, you know, do it a little bit better with Shady and Hot Rod. They're splitting carries. I didn't agree with it all the time with how they decided to split them up.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it's, you know, running first and second, and all of a sudden, you know, it's third and short, you want to run it again, I don't see a problem with putting Ray Graham in there or giving it to Hynoski. Just... you know, let some other guys get the ball. I think Heinoski had one carry yesterday.
Yeah, it was for a first down. It was on the 30 of theirs.
Right, just, nice play. You know, you want to make sure that your best players have the ball. And on offense, those two players are Jonathan Baldwin and Deion Lewis.
Exactly.
That's fine. But you can't expect them to do it every single play. You want to make sure that you're protecting your guys as well as giving them a chance to succeed.
Look, how many touches was Shady get in a game? Something close to what, you know, but he was a sophomore and, you know, like a sort of like, he was like a sophomore and a guaranteed NFL draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to take a guy who's a freshman, just came on, and force all that workload on him. Hopefully we can spread those carries out a little more. And hopefully we'll be able to get a sort of offense that's not centered around him going. Because what happens if he starts getting shut down?
Right.
That's what's going to, you know.
Just balance it out a little bit better.
Balance it out. Maybe we can get, you know. You can really, really tell what Cignetti's doing. He's making everything easy on Stahl. Everything's screen pass. Don't do anything crazy. He threw, what, three balls downfield? All three weren't even anywhere near the guy.
Yeah.
So his job's going to be those just little tiny screen passes. Don't make a mistake. Don't get sacked. You know,
ball control, field position.
The ball, and then we're just going to play field position. And I don't think we have the defense to play field position once we start playing real teams. If they're able to throw the ball, yeah. I think
Louisville type, I wouldn't worry about playing field position with, just because they're not going to be able to throw the ball on you.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, maybe.
I would say Notre Dame more than maybe. Notre Dame's going to probably throw the ball a lot on us.
I would, you know, the thing that Cignetti has to consider is if we ever get into a game type where it's going to be like a high-scoring affair and our defense is, you know, having some trouble shutting down.
Can we put 7 points on the board? Yeah, every drive. That's sort of the thing.
Right.
Now,
if we start getting in a position where we have to start throwing it deep, it has to be Tino time because we need a guy in there we know that can throw the ball.
We saw with Kavanaugh what happens when we had to put points on the board. We didn't do it. All of our big games were sort of like our big wins under when Kavanaugh was still coach here were sort of mucky games with like low scores and a lot of turnovers. That's sort of our, like, 13-9 game against South Florida,
19-15.
Yeah, it's sort of our game plan. And I don't think this year we're gonna get ourselves in that many games like that because defense isn't as good as it was last year to get us into that situation.
Yeah, that's a good point. We can't give up quick scores.
Yeah.
Quick scores is what's going to kill this team.
If our whole game plan is going to be about, you know, cutting down the clock and protecting our quarterback from making all the sort of hard throws, if team starts putting up points on us, we're screwed. Because we're not going to be able... This team's not going to score 54 points again. I can tell you that much right now. We're not going to score 54 points again this year. I'd be dancing for joy if we score 40 over 40 in a game that's not against Navy, but this is as good as we're gonna see the offense look. This is as good as Stahl's gonna look. Deion Lewis had a huge game. This is sort of like what we should expect if we're gonna be winning games.
Yeah, everybody on offense pretty much played a very, very good, very solid game yesterday. The offensive line played well. I thought Nate and Dorn did pretty well at the tight ends. Ray Graham got his first touchdown as a Panther. The wide receivers looked decent.
All that being said, if the defense comes around, this is a dangerous team. If the defense were to come around and play like they did late last season, it's going to be a tough team to beat. With this sort of offense and that's this sort of play calling, another sort of critique of Let's not go overboard and start crucifying people who were booing Stahl last game. He was still throwing bubble screens way too far close to the corner. He still missed a couple passes. He didn't put up any sort of big yards. Let's see what he does when everything's not laid out easy for him.
Yeah. Don't be ready, like you said, don't be ready to crucify him. At the same time, don't be willing to put him up on a pedestal yet.
If you're thinking about it, like right now, Stahl deserves no boost. He's executing our game plan as well as you can do it.
Yep.
There's only so much you can do in this offense, and he's doing pretty much as close as you can do it. I mean, say that guy would have picked that ball off though to start the game. It's a totally different story. That guy picks that ball off, and they take it back, and they house, and they get seven. So we could be talking about a completely different thing.
Right.
So remember, he didn't light the world on fire. He managed the game. playing his
part. He did what was asked of him.
This is as good as he's going to get.
Right.
So just ride this out until the new problems start coming.
He's not as bad as people were making him out to be, and as bad as, you know, people kind of, you know, were getting yelled at for booing.
Yeah.
But he's certainly nowhere near the people on the message boards.
He's not as bad as people with these. Yeah, he's not right. as bad as people, but he's not as back or sort of, you know, on fire now as anybody would say about
him. He's just still an average to below average
quarterback. Those three touchdowns to Doran were 4-yard passes Doran turned upfield. Me and you could make those passes. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, he wasn't like throwing them across the middle and hitting a guy like 15 yards upfield. He was just doing the play. And I've noticed with Cignetti, when they do a lot of those, they roll him out. There's only one read for him to make. It's either that guy or throw the ball away. Because mm-hmm. the other guys are like running on the other side of the field that he couldn't possibly make that throw. So right. everything's like either throw here or don't throw at all.
But to be making the counterpoint here, against Youngstown State, when he did have that touchdown pass to Deion Lewis, he went through three reads before he found Lewis. Because at first, you know, he looked out to the right, and yeah. that was his first read. Scanned the rest of the field, checked over the middle, his guys are all taken down, and then found Deion in the corner.
Yeah, but we weren't running those type of plays yesterday. We were doing a lot of those like quick plays that were designed to go to Doran, and they worked. So I don't think it's reasonable to expect Deion Lewis to put up 250 yards every single game of total offense.
Oh, no running back's gonna do that.
So yeah.
he'll have his games where he'll have only like 60 or 70 yards rushing and maybe only 20 or 30 yards receiving. But
we'll find out what type of player Stahl's gonna be this year. First time we have to go out there, come down for maybe 10 points, maybe come back from like 10 points, come back from 7 points. We have to put a score on the board, and we can't run the ball. That's where we're going to find out what Saul is. So let's sort of enjoy this early season ride. When's the last time we've been? What's the last time we've been 2-0 since 2005?
It's been a while.
Yeah, let's enjoy this. Enjoy the Navy game, hopefully, and then if we get out of NC State undefeated, that's sort of like. When we talked about last week, that's sort of right. our like goal.
Yeah, the benchmark 4-0.
This 4-0 is once we get out of NC State, then the season starts. That's like when we know where things are going to start to fall. We got to end up 4-0. That's like it has to happen. The whole thing has been laid out for us. We have to end up 4-0 and then start. You know,
right.
then we'll find out the real.
These are the games to, you know, identify where your problems are, because camp can only tell you so much. Once you're out of camp, then you start learning a lot more about your team.
Exactly.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, sure, 54-27 final score. The game close, much closer than the score indicated.
Yeah, it was almost a one possession game. 8 minutes left right. in the third quarter.
Yeah, we had that Greg Williams fumble recovery for a touchdown, and then the Deion Lewis 80-yard touchdown, and all of a sudden it was a 14-point swing, put us ahead and closed it out. But, you know, that's just the way things are with Pitt football. There are people that are going to have you believe everything is down in the dumps and we're heading in the wrong direction. We're going to have people that would have you think we're coming off 7 straight national championships and we, you know, just beat USC at the Rose Bowl while, you know, people were shooting bullets at our players.
Exactly.
And we still won. It's always somewhere in the middle.
It's in the middle.
It's always in the middle.
That's always a great point. Whenever you overreact with Pitt football, it's always somewhere in the middle. It's not as good or as bad.
It's not as bad as some people are making out to believe, and it's not as good as some people are making out to believe. But that's okay. That's good to have a realistic thought on things, because think about it. At the end of the day, we won our first game 38-3. We won our second game 54-27. We beat two teams we were supposed to. We won by a large margin of victory. We saw the offense come around and play the way they were supposed to. We saw our questions at running back pretty much answered through this
exactly,
point.
Exactly, yeah.
We saw the offensive line, through two games, play the way that they were supposed to play. They were manhandling the defensive line, creating holes, giving you know, protection for the quarterback.
You can only play the team in front of you, and we've beaten the first two teams.
Yep, and it's cliche, but one game at a time truly is the best thing for our team, because concentrate for Navy this week. Get ready for your assignments.
We're all too smart now at this point to sort of get ahead of ourselves either. Like, nobody's going like this is a national title team anymore.
Right.
We've seen this. We've seen the last 5 years. We know that we sort of have to get through everything. Right. We're not like nothing's given with this team. Like nothing's ever given.
After these first two wins right now, everybody on our schedule the rest of the way stands a chance to beat us. And
I would say that's a good point. There's no more super lopsided games. Navy's probably lopsided, but it's not really lopsided.
Right, but even if Navy were to beat you, there's still some reasoning as to why it could happen, and we kind of saw it with these last two games. But that's what is great about these first two games, is they help you identify where they're coming from.
That's what's great about scheduling cupcakes.
Yeah.
And walk over.
That's why it's not good for next year when you open up with Utah.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so let's talk a little bit more about the trip here. So we went up yesterday morning, got there Saturday morning about 11:30, walked 9 million miles to the stadium, found our seats. Buffalo Stadium wasn't that anything spectacular. If they want to continue more, they're definitely have to try to improve their fan support, because I think the university at Buffalo has more than 400 students that go there.
Yeah, definitely.
And
they had, like, nobody there.
You're a college stadium in, Buffalo on-campus stadium. Could you sell a beer or two, maybe? I mean, I didn't want to really have to join the Buffalo Alumni Association to get a beer, but it would have been nice.
Yeah, definitely. I would have enjoyed, two or three beers and made that game get out a little easier. we didn't really have that much time before the game to, look around and see what they were doing. It seemed like there was a lot of Pit people there, though.
Yeah, there were a bunch.
Because we saw Pit people for the rest of the day, everywhere.
Yeah, we went to the wing place where the Buffalo Wing was invented, the Anchor Bar. That was a pretty cool place. Jason and Grant both had the Atomic Wings.
They're very, very hot. My tongue and lips still hurt from having them.
See, I thought I was safe getting the spicy barbecue, but even the barbecue was very, very spicy.
Later in the night, Dave and JT went to the casino
in Niagara Falls.
Me and Grant went out in Buffalo,
Chippewa Street.
Yeah, Chippewa Street, and there was big people out there. And apparently, they don't close their bars till 4 a.m. in New York. I thought that was only in New York City. Didn't know it was the whole state. But yeah, and then we walked down towards UB campus and went down to a couple bars over there. It was really. Really nice time out last night.
The story of the night from Jason and Grant were the insane amount of hot chicks.
I've never seen so many hot chicks in my entire life.
Which is shocking, because I don't know if people are just ragging on each other's cities, but leading up to the game, when people are saying, these are things to do in Buffalo, they say, well, watch out for the women. They're not good looking. We even saw some cougars that were...
Oh, man. I saw, I was telling Dave, couldn't imagine it. Just bars full of them, full of really, really hot chicks, everywhere. It was insane. It's nothing like even going down Southside. There's so much more. It was very, very, very impressive. Very impressive.
Our hotel was super nice. We stayed at the Hyatt downtown. Thank you, Priceline.com, for my $72 winning bid.
Yeah.
That was, even though it was only a king bed, hey, we could fit three guys
in. The only weird thing about Buffalo was that we were out 4 o'clock in the afternoon and there was nobody on the streets.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
It kind of reminded you of Dawn of the Dead, where during the day, nobody's out.
It was so weird. There was, nobody out. But then there was people inside the buildings. But at night, there was definitely a ton of people on, Chippewa Street and stuff.
Oh, they're all walking around?
Yeah.
Okay. But the falls are sweet. That was the first... I went to Niagara Falls on the Canada side when I was 1 year old, and I've never been back since. And it was pretty fun going up. We went up, and JT got in trouble at the casino for not having his license, but it was kind of a good thing he did get kicked out, because I was riding a hot streak on roulette, so it made me pocket my winnings. So a couple hundred bucks in the profit on roulette. And even at the casino, there were a ton of Pitt people there. But the crazy thing, it wasn't even just like you could tell they were Pittsburgh people, there's a lot of people wearing Steeler stuff too. And I wonder if that was maybe people from Erie coming up to play or for what
they did. We had a very good turnout. It's a short drive. That's easiest. Yeah. Easiest sort of away game to go to.
Yeah. The falls were really nice. That was the first time I really saw that. I didn't realize, Niagara Falls is actually on the U.S. side, but on the Canadian side, their falls is actually called the Horseshoe Falls. And I didn't realize that they were different names. I thought Niagara Falls were just, named after both. But what do I know? Maybe I'll start doing some more. Think about that. I could do my PhD in history on Niagara Falls.
There you go.
Because my concentration is in U.S. history. But no, I think going up with JT actually was a good idea, because he... can read and retain information, put that in the steel box, and, just giving you, a lot of breakdown and history about it. And they had a band playing outside and, a big party. It was really, really fun. Although, looking across the Niagara River into Canada, it looks just like a mini Vegas. We got to go back again sometime. Yeah. I would definitely go to Buffalo again in 2 years whenever we play them for the finish up of the one-on-one. Yeah. Even if we do another four-game series, 2-2, I'd be okay with that. I don't mind going out to Buffalo, just as long as it's in September when it's not.
We were talking about this on the way up there. It's like, this is going to be like the rest of our lives, like going to like these like early season away games.
Yep.
It's going to be like for the next, like I said, for me, like 3 years, next 3 years. Before,
before you pass on.
Yeah.
But think about it. You know, this is a nice little tradition we started. It just kind of came out of the blue with going to Michigan State. And then last year went to Navy, and then this year Buffalo. Next year, maybe we can do two. We can do Navy again. Because that Pitt pregame event that they had last year was really fantastic. And I like playing it at night. If we could get another night game with Navy, that'd be the way to go. And then Buffalo again the year after that. But, you know, who knows? There might be some other games that pop up along the way to check out. But, I was going to, get ready to start bashing Buffalo, but nice city.
I had a great time last night. I had a great time last night.
No complaints about Buffalo, other than really not liking the Sabres too much.
We didn't like the. I mean, we weren't like super impressed with the stadium or anything, but.
But you know what though? They've only been a Division I school for 10 years now.
10 years, yeah.
They're still building their fan support. It was really weird at the game seeing so many people with like Notre Dame stuff, Ohio State stuff, because a lot of the older people there that went to Buffalo didn't have a real football team to cheer for a while.
Until
they kind of had to pick a Division I team to root for. But now they finally have their own, and I think hopefully as Buffalo continues to improve and get a little bit more of an identity established, they can hopefully continue to build the fan base and maybe get a little bit more passionate fans coming through. But it's all in all good trip, great time. I'm glad I went, and I think it was a good experience for everybody. I'm very satisfied to say I had wings at the place where they invented.
I'll be tasting those wings on my lips for the next week and a half, so I'm very, very excited.
Never, ever get the atomic wings. My mouth cannot handle that. But anyway, folks, we have Navy next week. We got a 6 o'clock kickoff. It's going on after the Pirates play. Hopefully the 17 fans that go to the Pirate game will show up to the Pitt game afterwards. But next week should be fun. It's always a good time when you play Navy. We said this again 2 years ago when they came in. Don't boo the cadets. Remember, these are servicemen that are there just playing football. They could have probably gone elsewhere to play football, but these are people that are serving their country. And when they finish playing football, they're going to get deployed somewhere. They're going to be away.
Yep.
These are your military.
Yep.
Don't do anything to disrespect them. Even the fans. I don't care what the Navy fans come up and do or say to you.
I don't think you have a problem with anybody yelling at you or anything.
Let it slide. Yeah, it's... This is one game where there needs to be some strong mutual respect between the two teams. I think we'll get it. But just, again, be a little bit mindful of it.
Here's something else. Past, like, two games, we've met people that read the blog and listen to the podcast and stuff. If you see me or Dave out there in the game, come up and say hi.
Yeah, I'm the big bald guy. Jason's the smaller guy with the shaved head.
There you go.
Yeah, there's only a few of us walking around with cap basket shirts, so if you come up and see us, it's either probably just me, Jason, Brian, or Studsy.
Yeah.
So, and we're always around each other. So if you find one of some people in the cap basket shirts, usually we're not too far along. And if you ever want to come up, we tailgate in Red 5 on the roof, and we have the cap basket flag flying. So if you ever want to stop up and say hi, that's where we're at. But again, thank you guys for your support for reading this. Each year we keep getting more and more readers, and for us, this is fun. We really like covering the team, and it's been,
we would do these. We do these conversations to each other, either way. So
right, yeah. You guys are just getting about anywhere from a half hour to an hour of conversations that Jason and I have
to each other. Yeah,
all week long. And you know what though, it's what we're passionate about. We love our school. We love the football team, and we wouldn't be doing this if we didn't think we could believe in this team. But again, thank you everybody. Hope you had a great week. Hope you enjoyed the Buffalo win. We'll definitely see you back next week after the game with another podcast, hopefully after Pitt finishes the game, finishes up 3-0, and that's when we'll talk to you next. So, for Jason Jones, this is DPJ saying we'll see you folks next time.
Bam, bam.
Whoop, whoop.